Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. A $95 billion foreign aid package for Israel, Ukraine, and other security priorities is heading for a final vote in Congress. House Speaker Mike Johnson saw a series of bills clear a procedural hurdle today after Democrats helped him overcome opposition from dozens of hardline Republicans. A short time ago, Johnson told reporters that the package is the best the GOP could secure under the circumstances.
We look forward to the vote tomorrow. We look forward to every member voting their conscience and their desire, and that is exactly how this process is supposed to work and how the House is supposed to operate.
The package includes $26 billion for Israel, $61 billion for Ukraine, $8 billion for the Indo-Pacific. It also includes a TikTok ban measure. U.S. officials confirm an Israeli military strike against Iran overnight, the latest in a recent series of retaliatory attacks between the two that includes Iran's unprecedented drone and missile strike against Israel last weekend. NPR's Peter Kenny reports one Israeli cabinet minister says he was underwhelmed by his country's latest response to Iran.
Iran's state-affiliated news agency Tasnim quoted the one-word social media post by Israeli National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, in which he described Israel's apparent response to a purported barrage fired by Iran as feeble. Tasnim commented that the authorities in Israel are making fools of themselves. Meanwhile, Israeli opposition leader Yair Lapid was also harsh in his criticism of Ben-Gvir's post, saying that with an unforgivable tweet of one word, Ben-Gvir manages to smear and embarrass Israel from Tehran to Washington. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Jerusalem.
The Biden administration has announced new regulations around handling sexual misconduct cases on campus. NPR's Tovia Smith reports the new rules extend Title IX protections against sex discrimination to include sexual orientation and gender identity, and they roll back some changes made by the Trump administration.
Under the new rules, in-person, court-like proceedings on sexual misconduct, including cross-examination of alleged victims, are no longer required. And while regulations created under the Trump administration narrowed what counts as sexual harassment, the Biden regs loosen that back up. They also extend Title IX to cover pregnant, gay, and trans students. Catherine Lehman is Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights.
Title IX requires more. And these final regulations provide it.
Critics say the new rules violate the due process rights of the accused, and Republican Congresswoman Virginia Fox said it, quote, dumps kerosene on an already raging fire related to transgender students' rights. But an even more contentious issue remains to be addressed, that is, whether schools can ban transgender athletes. Tovia Smith, NPR News.
Former President Donald Trump's back in court for the fourth day of his criminal trial in New York for falsifying internal business records when he was running for president in 2016. It's NPR News. Today is the last day for workers at a VW plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to vote on whether they want to join the United Auto Workers Union. A win would be a big deal for the UAW, which recently scored victories in deals with Detroit's big three automakers and is hoping to expand its presence in the southern U.S. However, state and local officials have warned that unionizing the VW plant in Tennessee could deter new business investments and cost jobs. Pop star Taylor Swift has just dropped her 11th album. It provides more fodder for fans of one of the world's biggest recording artists. NPR's Amy Held reports there are more than two dozen new tracks.
With the new album, The Tortured Poets Department, Taylor Swift's era of pop dominance endures. Spotify says it broke a record for pre-saves before it had even dropped. Fortnite. Featuring Post Malone is the first single. The album apparently leaked early, though some Swifties said they'd await the official release to listen. Now Swift says it's a secret double album because she had so much tortured poetry, there are 15 extra songs, leaving fans to parse her lyrics about love's loss. I'm pissed off you let me give you all that youth for free. Swift resumes her career-spanning Eras tour in Europe next month. Amy Held, NPR News.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 174 points. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Progressive Insurance, where drivers can compare direct rates using Progressive's rate comparison tool. Customers can see options and rates side by side. More at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Good afternoon and welcome to Noon Hour Magazine right here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. This is Heather. 6 minutes after 12 o'clock, it is 57 degrees outside, a bit of a difference from yesterday, kind of cloudy and overcast. We'll have a look at that weather forecast coming up in a few minutes. In our local news today, we're going to hear from the Pocahontas County Commission meeting talking about a purchase on Beard Heights. We're also going to hear about some new hires at the Omni Homestead and a short little news nugget concerning Highland County Schools, SRO. We'll also have all of our usual Noon Hour features coming your way. Of course, we've got the weekly sports roundup with Pistol Pete coming up in the second half of the hour. And we'll let you know what's going on in our listening area. Let's get it going with our local news.
At the April 16th Pocahontas County Commission meeting, the commissioners voted to purchase a half-acre tract of land on Beard Heights. Commission President Walt Helmick proposed this purchase because the land contains one of the two wells being used by the Pocahontas County Hospital and other buildings up on that hill for their water supply. The purchase price is $30,000. Helmick explained that they have already been leasing that well from Sherry Bennett, and the purchase will ensure the water supply for the future. He said that if needed, another well could be drilled there also. The commission already owns a 7.5-acre adjoining lot, which contains their second well. Each of these wells deliver about 25 gallons of water a minute. The commissioners also laid their tax levy for the 2024-2025 fiscal year, which begins on July 1st. The levy rates per $100 are: Class 1, which is currently exempt taxation, is 11.850. Class 2 is 23.700. Class 3 is 47.400. And Class 4 is also 47.400. Democrat West Virginia Delegate Hollis Lewis addressed the commissioners. Hollis said that in his day job, he runs First Choice Services, an organization which runs crisis hotlines such as 988 and the Quit Tobacco Hotline. He said that they are now offering a new service, the Crisis Intervention Team, or CIT. He explained that CIT works with mental health facilities to train law enforcement as well as other first responders in how to deal with mentally unstable persons in crisis whom they encounter on their job. He said they have a training session coming up soon at Snowshoe. At the request of Commissioner Rubinsky, the commissioners approved the sending of a letter to David J. Kane, who lives next to one of the county-owned former FEMA lots in East Cass, asking him to stop mowing or doing any other maintenance on the county-owned lot. Rubinsky said that since one of their lots is next to the Greenbrier River, they've decided to let it grow out naturally, but Kane keeps mowing it even after being asked not to. Because for some reason the county EMS board was never officially voted into existence many years ago, as is required by the state, the commissioners voted to correct that mistake and make the EMS board an official county entity. They also included in that vote that the commission retroactively approves all prior decisions made by that board. Rubinsky explained that the EMS board regulates the 6 EMS departments in the county, helps them to promote training, coordinates their issues or concerns with the state, and assists them in acquiring equipment. Also at the meeting, they approved and issued a resolution for the PMH HVAC project. They approved and issued a resolution for the EPA Brownfields project to pay a $2,767.23 invoice to the Greenbrier Economic Development Corporation for their services regarding this project. And finally, they appointed Kenneth Woods and Andrew McNabb to the County Building Commission. Tim Walker, Allegheny Mountain Radio News.
The homestead continues to expand following its completion of its $150 million renovation last fall with the addition of five highly revered professionals, including a new executive chef, executive pastry chef, a spa director, golf course superintendent, and a national sales manager. Chef Michael Zimogrowski is an executive chef with over 20 years of experience. The New Jersey native initiated his culinary journey at the Institute of Culinary Education in New York City. He immersed himself in refining his craft and gaining valuable experience in kitchens of renowned restaurant groups such as Union Square Hospitality Group, Thomas Keller Restaurant Group, and EMM Restaurant Group. Chef Pablo Rodriguez takes on the role of the executive pastry chef, and he's from Puerto Rico, where he pursued his passions for desserts by studying international baking and pastry. Throughout his illustrious career, he held key positions at acclaimed restaurants and hotels, culminating in his recent role as general manager of operations and pastry chef at a boutique chocolatier located in Union City. Audrey Zimogrowski assumes the role of the spa director. She brings 25 years of expertise into the ever-evolving wellness landscape. Audrey's progression as a lead massage therapist in New York evolved into a director of spa in Oklahoma City to her current role with the Omni Homestead Resort. As a native of New York, her hospitality experience goes beyond the spa, having held multiple positions in the culinary and fine dining industry. As spa director, she'll be responsible for overseeing the state-of-art facilities and fostering enthusiasm for training and development within the team to ensure a transformative spa experience for the guests. Tyler Minyamir serves as the award-winning property's golf course superintendent and brings a rich background in the golf industry. His start began at his family's 9-hole course, igniting his passion for the sport and inspiring him to pursue a career in golf management. He developed a strong foundation in turf management through his tenure with the maintenance team at Dunes Golf and Beach Club, where he was able to hone in on his skills over the years. Beyond this role, he excels in project management and has also been a key player in guiding numerous courses towards achieving environmental certification. Juan Ayala brings a wealth of experience to his new role as the national sales manager. He started in the hospitality industry as a busboy at the Embassy Suites in Southern California, where he pursued higher education, earning him a business marketing degree from California State University. Throughout his career, he's held pivotal sales manager positions at different hotels in California, Arizona, Florida, and most recently at the Colonial Williamsburg Resorts in Williamsburg. For AMR News, I'm Abby Dufour.
This is Scott Smith with an Allegheny Mountain Radio News Nugget. In a post shared Thursday morning on the Highland County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, Sheriff Bob Kelly said, quote, "I am informing you with a heavy heart that as of 4/19/2024 will be the last day the Highland County Sheriff's Office will provide our school system with an SRO. After becoming sheriff in January of 2024, my plans were to provide an SRO without the quote-unquote formal position and the funding. We were hoping that the sheriff's office could function properly, one patrol officer short. But things have changed. I have had two deputies resign from the police academy, and that has put us in a very difficult situation. The day-to-day operations of the sheriff's office require patrol officers. I plan to move Deputy McGuire from SRO to patrol. We need officers on the road to patrol and serve the community. As stated earlier, I share this information with a broken heart. My passion has always been to have an officer in the school. It is important for the students and staff to have a positive relationship with law enforcement. The sheriff's deputies will still come by the school as often as possible. I will diligently work on solving the funding issue for an SRO position. I hope to get an SRO back into the school soon." End quote.
The Pocahontas County Opera House is a supporter of Allegheny Mountain Radio, a 250-seat historic theater located in Marlinton, West Virginia, The Pocahontas County Opera House Foundation presents an annual performance series of both local and international musicians, theater groups, and other performers. More information is available at PocahontasOperaHouse.org.
Dairy Queen is a supporter of Allegheny Mountain Radio, located in Marlinton on Route 219 next to the Men's Shop. They are open Sunday through Thursday from 9:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. Also, Friday and Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. They have the new Bacon Queso Cheeseburger and can be reached at 304-799-7227.
It is 16 minutes after 12 o'clock. Let's have a look at our weather forecast for today. Cloudy skies today, showers likely, a chance of thunderstorms as well. Highs in the 60s with light winds mostly out of the southwest. Mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of showers and lows in the upper 30s to the upper 40s. Light and variable winds. Sunny tomorrow with highs in the upper 50s to the mid 60s, low 50s in those higher elevations, northwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow night, lows in the 30s and northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds with highs in the upper 40s to the upper 50s, partly cloudy Sunday night with lows in the upper 20s to the mid 30s. It's 57 degrees currently here at the Frost Studios. Preschoolers will study flowers and seeds at the Highland County Public Library this afternoon. That starts at 4 p.m. No registration is required, but a caregiver is required to attend. The Highland County Recycling Trailer will be at the Mill Gap Rootin' Grounds today through Sunday. And a spring yard sale coming up tomorrow at beginning at 9 a.m. at the BFD Fire Department in Greenbank. Vendors and crafters are wanted. There is a fee to set up a table. Proceeds will benefit the Pocahontas County Search and Rescue Groups, and that includes the AMMAR Hound Rescue Group. We do have one funeral notice to share with you today. Violet Wolf Andrews, age 85, of Southport, Florida, formerly of Bath County, passed away March 2nd in Florida. The funeral will be tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Healing Springs Baptist Church with Reverend Richard Goforth. Burial will be at the Union Chapel Cemetery. Again, that's Violet Wolf Andrews of Southport, Florida, formerly of Bath County, who passed away March 2nd. Online condolences may be shared at McLaughlinandYoung.com.
Funeral announcements are brought to you by Oba Funeral Home. With locations in both McDowell and Warm Springs, Virginia, they have served families for over 95 years. Information and online obituaries can be found at obafuneralhome.com. They may be reached at 540-839-3451 for their Bath County location and 540-396-3451 for assistance in Highland County.
Stardate, April 19th. The Lyrid meteor shower is building toward its peak on Sunday night. The moon will be almost full then, so its glare will wash out all but the brightest of the shooting stars. The shower is the offspring of Comet Thacher 1861. The comet orbits the sun once every 415 years or so. As Thacher approaches the sun, some of the ice at its surface vaporizes. That releases small bits of dirt and rock into space. This debris spreads out along the comet's path. Earth flies through this path every April. Some of the comet dust slams into our atmosphere and burns up, forming meteors. At least most of it does. It's likely that some of the grains fall to the surface. In fact, a recent study might have found some of those grains at the bottom of New York's Hudson River. Researchers sifted through layers of sand and mud deposited thousands of years ago. The layers included fossils of microscopic organisms that were coated with tin, an element that likely came from outside Earth. The scientists also found other elements that probably originated outside our planet as well. The layers were laid down at roughly 400-year intervals, suggesting a possible connection with Comet Thacher and the Lyrid meteors. The findings are preliminary, so we don't know for sure whether there's a link between the sediments at the bottom of the Hudson River and the streaks of light in April's night skies. We have more skywatching tips, astronomy news, and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Stardate comes to you on these stations with the help of the Green Bank Observatory in Green Bank, West Virginia. GBO is a facility of the National Science Foundation.
This is Bird Note. Singers with a wide vocal range are thrilling to hear in concert. Even if you don't have any big names touring nearby, you can find birds with impressive vocal talents, like the widespread northern cardinal. In seconds, cardinals sweep through high to low notes many times. Even a virtuoso human singer would be hard-pressed to do that. The secret is in the clever way cardinals use their vocal organ, called the syrinx. With the right side of their syrinx, cardinals start whistling a high note, smoothly falling in pitch. Then, without a pause in the whistle, cardinals switch to the left side of the syrinx, which they control independently, and belt out the lower notes. Here's the song slowed down. Notice how seamless the whistles are. Dividing their vocal range between the two parts of the syrinx helps cardinals sing complex songs rapidly. The result seems effortless, but the best musicians always do make it look easy. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is sponsored in honor of Dave Goodward by his daughter Jenna, to thank him for sharing his love of birds.
On This Day is presented by the Highland Historical Society. Today is April 19th. On this day in 1916, Harry St. George Byrd and Jesse Slavin Campbell were married. Harry was the oldest son of David O. and Mary Shoemate Byrd, and Jesse was the daughter of Dr. Oscar J. and Annie Slavin Campbell. The couple had two sons, Warren and Eugene. Harry was a farmer in the Mill Gap area, and was also a watchman at the Sounding Knob Tower. He was a charter member of the Mill Gap Brewerton Club. Harry died at King's Daughters Hospital in Stanton of renal failure on December 20, 1975, at age 86. Jesse died on March 24, 1976, and both are buried in the Green Hill Church Cemetery.
We've got your rhythm, we got your blues, we have your gospel, and some jazz too. Here's something country, here's some rock and roll. How about bluegrass? You know so. It might be old, it might be new, but we've got it, all the music just for you. Where can you find it? That's easy. On the radio stations right in your own community. Allegheny Mountain Radio.
All I want is having you and music, music, music.
All right. It is 26 minutes after 12 o'clock. Let's have a look at our sports calendar. Warrior Girls Softball versus the Meadowbridge Wildcats. That's coming up this evening at 6 p.m. at home. Warrior Girls Softball doubleheader tomorrow. They'll play Webster County Highlanders at noon and Pendleton County Wildcats at 4 p.m. And then coming up on Monday, Warrior Girls Softball and the Boys Baseball teams will take on the Bath County Chargers at 5 p.m. That will be at Pocahontas County High School. And then the softball and baseball teams will take on Tigers Valley Bulldogs on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Those games at Tigers Valley. Let's give you an update on our spring fundraiser totals. Our official grand total is now up to $23,595, so just shy of $23,600. So well on our way to reaching our goal of $40,000 for our spring fundraiser. The 5K challenge, which, let me remind you, for every $5,000 that we raise on air this week, that means one lucky or unlucky person will run a 5K race during the West Virginia Trail Fest coming up this May. That total is now up to $6,765. So that means we're just $3,235 away from having a second person who will join me in running that 5K race at Snowshoe. I believe that is on May 9th or 10th. It's the Friday night of that Mother's Day weekend that they will have that 5K race, and I was the first one to volunteer for that, so I'm committed to doing that one. So, but if we raise just another little under $3,300, then we'll make sure that we have somebody to join me in that race. So if you want to call in a pledge towards that, 304-799-6004 or 1-800-297-2346.
From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow.
In our town, we needed to do something about the runoff that polluted our rivers and streams. One thing we did was to plant trees in our yards. You can make a difference in your town, too. For your free Conservation Trees booklet, call the Arbor Day Foundation, toll-free, 1-800-932-1433. Or write the Arbor Day Foundation, Nebraska City, Nebraska.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Cargill's animal nutrition business is conducting a voluntary recall of feed intended for chicken broilers, turkeys, and other fowl. Officials say the reason for the recall is a lack of vitamin D, which can lead to mineral deficiencies and bone issues, including rickets in growing birds. The symptoms include lameness and rubbery bones. The specific recalled feed is Nutrina Country Feeds Meat Bird 22% Crumble, which were sold in North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee, and other eastern states. In other farm news, exports of U.S. pork continued their robust growth during the first 2 months of 2024. That's according to a news release from the USDA, which indicates Mexico was the top destination for U.S. pork in January and February, totaling 196,000 metric tons of pork to Mexico.
Stay tuned. Your daily pearl of wisdom is coming up next.
Well, today's program is made possible in part by a longtime sponsor of On the Farm Radio, and we appreciate their support, Feedworks USA. They provide specialty feed ingredients for the livestock industry. More information at feedworksusa.com.
On the Farm Radio is pleased to promote and support the National FFA organization. Young people involved in agricultural education and leadership today will be our next generation of agriculturalists tomorrow. Contact your local FFA chapter to see how you can support our next generation of farmers and agribusiness leaders. More information at ffa.org.
Well, today we would like to welcome to our family of affiliated radio stations WJDT in northeastern Tennessee. WJDT serves a listening audience that includes more than 7,000 farming operations, generating $175 million in farm sales each year. It's our pleasure to welcome the listeners of WJDT FM 106.5 in northeastern Tennessee. Our pearl of wisdom today comes in by email from listener Wanda Lehman, who says the best things in life. Well, the best things in life aren't things. Thank you, Wanda, for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.
Support for Allegheny Mountain Radio comes from the Virginia Education Association. Resources for parents and teachers at veanea.org. Because a good education is good for everybody.
This is your weekly feeder cattle report on Allegheny Mountain Radio. Average prices are based on information from the USDA for statewide sales in Virginia and averages of the three livestock markets of Caldwell, Moorefield, and Marlinton in West Virginia. For the week preceding April 18th in Virginia, medium and large framed non-weaned steers weighing 5 to 600 pounds brought $294.57, 6 to 700 pounds $263.92, 7 to 800 pounds $231.97, 8 to 900 pounds $218.75, and 900 to 1,000 pounds $218.64. Medium and large framed non-weaned heffers weighing 5 to 600 pounds brought $238.62, 6 to 700 pounds $229.77, 7 to 800 pounds $201, 8 to 900 pounds $109.24, and 900 to 1,000 pounds $122. In West Virginia, medium and large framed non-weaned steers weighing 5 to 600 pounds brought $3, 6 to 700 pounds $273, 7 to 800 pounds $175, and 8 to 900 pounds $223. Medium and large framed non-weaned heifers weighing 6 to 700 pounds brought $236.
The weekly feeder cattle report is brought to you by Beverage Construction. They are a general contractor licensed and insured to operate in Virginia. Building since 1978, they offer foundation to finish construction. Their phone number is 540-468-2593, and email is beveragehomes@htcnet.org.
Now the latest from VNN, the Virginia News Network.
Three people are in custody for recent shootings in Richmond. Police Chief Rick Edwards announced the arrests yesterday of three men from Richmond. 20-year-old Kimon Pryor was arrested for his alleged role in the death of a 16-year-old last week. 28-year-old Juwan Lewis is charged with murder for the shooting that killed another 28-year-old man 2 weeks ago. 20-year-old Joseph Treacle is facing charges for his alleged role in the death of a 14-year-old last month. Edwards also asked people to put the recent string of violence in perspective. He says homicides are actually down 25% from this time a year ago. The Virginia Supreme Court has granted a petition from a state inmate who was denied release from prison in 2022.
The ACLU filed a petition on behalf of Jose Garcia Vasquez, an inmate who pled guilty to conspiracy to commit murder and criminal gang participation. The organization argued that the state denied sentence credits earned by Vasquez based on an opinion by the Attorney General's office rather than the actual state law. The court agreed in a ruling yesterday, saying it was the court's duty to interpret the law as written. The court ordered the Department of Corrections to release Vasquez from the Haynesville Correction Center. I'm Richard Stelling.
Three people are recovering after a school bus crashed into a DMV building in Fairfax County yesterday. Police say the bus driver was forced to swerve at the intersection of Braddock and Burke Station Roads when another vehicle failed to yield. The bus driver and two children were taken to the hospital for treatment after the crash. The driver of the other vehicle was cited by police. The DMV building was forced to close due to unsafe conditions caused by that crash. The Virginia State Patrol will take part in a multi-state effort to encourage safe driving on Interstate 95. 15 states will be participating in the Drive to Save Lives enforcement effort that begins today. Additional officers will be patrolling the highway through Sunday. The effort will focus on all aspects of safe driving, including speeding, distracted driving, and impaired driving. I'm Rebecca Hughes.
This is VNN, the Virginia News Network.
24 minutes before 1 o'clock, the Highland County Arts Council is hosting a reception for artist Karen Milnes and Kate McKenzie at the Highland County Public Library. That's Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Light refreshments will be served along with a chance to meet the local artist. The Allegheny Mountain String Project will present their spring recital Sunday afternoon. That's at 3 p.m. at the Garth Newell Music Center. There's no charge and everyone is welcome. WVLS Community Advisory Committee meeting Monday at 6 p.m. at the WVLS studio at 80 East Main Street in Monterey, Virginia. The public is welcome to attend.
I wanna wish you a happy birthday. I wanna help you celebrate.
We want to wish a very happy birthday today to David Waybright, celebrating a local birthday today. Happy birthday, David. He's sharing his birthday with actor Dudley Moore from the movie Arthur. Actor Tim Curry, probably best known for his role as Dr. Frankenstein in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Race car driver Al Unser Jr., actress Kate Hudson, and tennis player Maria Sharapova.
I left the one I love on one of the thousand islands.
Arthur Godfrey was a 50s TV and radio icon, but not such a great tour leader. You're on the Soundbeat.
So I row, 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 row up the River St. Lawrence, and I'm hollering, Florence. Oh, where can you be?
Where can she be?
You're listening to the Thousand Islands Song, a Columbia 78 recorded in 1947. The archipelago lies in the St. Lawrence River on the U.S.-Canadian border. There are actually about 1,800 islands, each passing the stringent criteria of A, being above water level year-round, B, having an area greater than 1 square foot, and C, bearing at least one living tree.
I mustn't take a nap, gotta watch the map. That was Island 793.
That island mentioned there, 793, is an actual one, belonging to Arthur Godfrey. That's right, it was gifted to him by Grant Mitchell of the Thousand Islands Admiralty in appreciation of the song. For more on the story, visit soundbeat.org or check out our Facebook page right now. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Barry.
This is Pistol Pete Atkinson with the weekly sports roundup. Pocahontas County Schools. The Warriors boys varsity baseball team played a doubleheader against Midland Trail on April 13th, losing both games 9-5 and 5-4, moving the record to 0-5 for the season. Bath County Schools. The Chargers girls varsity soccer team won the first match of the season, defeating Bland County 4-3 in Rocky Gap on Friday, April 12th. Samantha Horn scored a hat trick in the second half to win it for Bath County, and Lacey Ryder scored a goal along with an assist for the Chargers. Zoe Jenkins recorded 9 saves. The girls then faced Stewart's Draft at home on Tuesday, April 16th, losing 7-0, dropping the record to 1-5-1 for the season. The Chargers girls JV softball team played in a split doubleheader at Eastern Montgomery on Saturday, April 13th, losing to Giles in Game 1, 11-10, and Eastern Montgomery in Game 2, 16-6. The girls JV team now stands at 0-3 in the Pioneer District, 0-5 overall. The Chargers boys varsity baseball team took on Grace Christian in an away game on Tuesday, April 16th, losing 11-0, dropping the record to 0-1 in the Pioneer District, 1-3 overall. Cooper Lowry was the only Charger to reach base, drawing a two-out walk in the top of the fourth inning. Nathan Hunt started and took the loss for Bath County, with both Isaac Ingram and Lowry working in relief. Together, the three struck out eight batters and walked five. The boys' varsity soccer team faced Stewart's Draft in a home match on Tuesday, April 16th, losing a tight one, 4-3, dropping the record to 0-1 in the Pioneer District, 2-4 overall. Andrew Turner and Braden Mabe scored goals for Bath County, and Frankie DeBow had 21 saves a goal. The girls' varsity tennis team led 3-0 after doubles play on Tuesday, April 16th, before the match was suspended by rain. Highland County Schools. The Rams Girls Middle School track team participated in the Terrier Twilight Middle School Invitational at William Byrd High School on Friday, April 12th, finishing in a tie for 6th out of 10 teams. Rams' Brooke Williams won the 400-meter dash with a time of 107.02 and finished 6th in the 100-meter dash with a time of 13.99. The Lady Rams, consisting of Brooklyn Buzzard, Addison Lockridge, McKinley Smith, and Williams, also finished fourth on the 4x100-meter relay with a 58.43 time. Christina Neal placed fourth in the discus with a throw of 55 feet 4 inches. The Rams boys varsity baseball team traveled to Narrows on Saturday, April 13th, to play a doubleheader against Narrows, losing both games 8-0 and 7-6, moving the record to 2-2 in the Pioneer District, 4-4 overall. In Game 1, Patton Hall reached base twice with a walk in the first and a single in the third. Zach Armstrong pitched three innings, allowing 6 hits and 5 unearned runs, and Eli Moore allowed 3 runs over one inning. In Game 2 for the Rams, Hall went 3-for-3 at the plate with 2 runs scored. John Wagner had 2 hits, including a solo home run. Evan Kimball also had 2 hits. Wagner went the distance for the Rams, surrendering 7 hits and 7 runs while striking out 5 batters. The girls' JV softball team also went to Narrows to face Narrows in a doubleheader on April 13th, winning both games 8-1 and 18-17. The girls' JV softball team then played Bath County in Hot Springs on Tuesday, April 16th, losing 18-17, dropping the record to 5-1 in the Pioneer District, 6-2 overall. The Rams boys' varsity baseball team and the girls' JV softball team went to Dunmore, West Virginia to play Pocahontas County on Monday, April 15th. Both games wound up being rained out as the boys' contest was tied 7-7 in the fourth inning, and the girls' contest was 15-3 in favor of Pocahontas County. The boys' JV team played Bath County at home on Tuesday, April 16th, and it was counted as a scrimmage game due to the lack of umpires. The result was Bath winning 29-1. Information for this report came from Mark Pfeiffer of the Recorder, Max Preps, and individual school websites. For more detailed information and scores, please visit the story on AMR's website. This has been Pistol Pete Atkinson for Allegheny Mountain Radio News.
Here's today's edition of Health in a Heartbeat. Here's a news flash about hot flashes. They've gotten worse over time. That is, women are having more hot flashes and night sweats today than earlier generations. Past studies have linked hot flashes to smoking and a high body mass index, which measures body fat based on height and weight. A woman's stress level and whether they took birth control or went under hormone replacement therapy were also factors. A more long-term look at menopause comes from the Study of Women's Health Across the Nation, or the SWAN Study, and has tracked a diverse group of women across the U.S. to better understand menopause. It enrolled 3,302 women, 42 to 52 years old, and follows them still today. In a Swedish study, researchers delved into reports from women born in 1918 and 1930, and then compared their menopause experiences with women born in 1954 and 1966. Over decades, they kept tabs on the women's experiences once they reached age 50. The SWAN study found that women with Chinese or Japanese backgrounds have longer menstrual cycles in general,
and black women go through a longer transition, having hot flashes and night sweats that can last up to 10 years or more. Despite controlling for variables like body mass index, smoking, and stress, 35% of women born later reported daily hot flashes, compared with 24% of women from earlier generations. Researchers aren't sure why that is, but say many factors may be at play. To lessen the symptoms, reducing stress is important. Cognitive behavioral therapy can help. If you feel like symptoms are eroding your quality of life, talk to your doctor. And maybe pick up one of those battery-charged, portable fans. This edition of Health in a Heartbeat is brought to you by University of Florida Health and by WUFTFM. For more information or to subscribe to our weekly e-newsletter, please visit our website, heartbeatradio.org.
Allegheny Mountain Radio thanks the Pocahontas Times, the county's newspaper for more than 130 years, for its support. The Pocahontas Times publishes the news and tells the story of the people of Pocahontas County. Deadline for all legal ads, block ads, and classifieds is noon Monday. Their phone number is 304-799-4973.
The world's largest energy plant. I'm Randy Simon, and this is Earthwise, a look at our changing environment. The largest energy plant in the world is being built in India. In an area of barren desert in western India near the Pakistani border, Adani Green Energy Limited, or AGEL, is building a sprawling solar and wind power plant that will cover more than 200 square miles. It'll be five times the size of Paris and will produce enough electricity to power 16 million homes. The Kavda Renewable Energy Park will cost about $20 billion to build and will take about 5 years to complete. The success of the plant is critical to India's efforts to reduce pollution and meet its climate goals. India is the world's third largest energy-consuming country. Even though its energy use and emissions per person are less than half the global average, its enormous population offsets that advantage, and its expanding economy and ongoing modernization are driving rapid growth of energy demand. Energy demand has doubled since 2000, and 80% is still being met by coal, oil, and solid biomass. India uses massive amounts of coal, and in fact, the Adani Group of Companies is India's biggest coal importer and a leading miner of the fossil fuels. Adani represents two sides of the coin. More than 600 million people in India will be coming into middle and upper income over the next 10 to 15 years, and they will have increasing energy needs. India is in a race to develop clean energy capacity. If it simply follows the tortuous path that China, Europe, and the U.S. all have done, the prospects for the global climate are bleak. Building the world's largest clean energy plant is just the first small step in the necessary direction.
Earthwise is a production of WAMC. Find us on social media at WAMC Radio and listen anytime at WAMCpodcasts.org.
It is 12 minutes before 1 o'clock. Cloudy skies today with showers, likely a chance of thunderstorms, highs in the 60s. Mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of showers and lows in the upper 30s to the upper 40s. Sunny skies tomorrow, highs upper 50s to the mid-60s, just in the low 50s in those higher elevations. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow night with lows in the 30s and northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds with highs in the upper 40s to the upper 50s. Partly cloudy Sunday night with lows in the upper 20s to the mid-30s. We're going to have another listen to our local news stories.
At the April 16th Pocahontas County Commission meeting, the commissioners voted to purchase a half-acre tract of land on Beard Heights. Commission President Walt Helmick proposed this purchase because the land contains one of the two wells being used by the Pocahontas County Hospital and other buildings up on that hill for their water supply. The purchase price is $30,000. Helmick explained that they have already been leasing that well from Sherry Bennett, and the purchase will ensure the water supply for the future. He said that if needed, another well could be drilled there also. The commission already owns a 7.5-acre adjoining lot, which contains their second well. Each of these wells deliver about 25 gallons of water a minute. The commissioners also laid their tax levy for the 2024-2025 fiscal year, which begins on July 1st. The levy rates per $100 are: Class 1, which is currently exempt taxation, is 11.850. Class 2 is 23.700. Class 3 is 47.400. And Class 4 is also 47.400. Democrat West Virginia Delegate Hollis Lewis addressed the commissioners. Hollis said that in his day job, he runs First Choice Services, an organization which runs crisis hotlines such as 988 and the Quit Tobacco Hotline. He said that they are now offering a new service, the Crisis Intervention Team, or CIT. He explained that CIT works with mental health facilities to train law enforcement as well as other first responders in how to deal with mentally unstable persons in crisis whom they encounter on their job. He said they have a training session coming up soon at Snowshoe. At the request of Commissioner Rubinsky, the commissioners approved the sending of a letter to David J. Kane, who lives next to one of the county-owned former FEMA lots in East Cass, asking him to stop mowing or doing any other maintenance on the county-owned lot. Rubinsky said that since one of their lots is next to the Greenbrier River, they've decided to let it grow out naturally, but Kane keeps mowing it even after being asked not to. Because for some reason the county EMS board was never officially voted into existence many years ago, as is required by the state, the commissioners voted to correct that mistake and make the EMS board an official county entity. They also included in that vote that the commission retroactively approves all prior decisions made by that board. Rubinsky explained that the EMS board regulates the six EMS departments in the county, helps them to promote training, coordinates their issues or concerns with the state, and assists them in acquiring equipment. Also at the meeting, they approved and issued a resolution for the PMH HVAC project. They approved and issued a resolution for the EPA Brownfields project to pay a $2,767.23 invoice to the Greenbrier Economic Development Corporation for their services regarding this project. And finally, they appointed Kenneth Woods and Andrew McNabb to the County Building Commission. Tim Walker, Allegheny Mountain Radio News.
The homestead continues to expand following its completion of its $150 million renovation last fall, with the addition of five highly revered professionals, including a new executive chef, executive pastry chef, a spa director, golf course superintendent, and a national sales manager. Chef Michael Zimogrowski is an executive chef with over 20 years of experience. The New Jersey native initiated his culinary journey at the Institute of Culinary Education in New York City. He immersed himself in refining his craft and gaining valuable experience in kitchens of renowned restaurant groups such as Union Square Hospitality Group, Thomas Keller Restaurant Group, and EMM Restaurant Group. Chef Pablo Rodriguez takes on the role of the executive pastry chef, and he's from Puerto Rico, where he pursued his passions for desserts by studying international baking and pastry. Throughout his illustrious career, he held key positions at acclaimed restaurants and hotels, culminating in his recent role as general manager of operations and pastry chef at a boutique chocolatier located in Union City. Audrey Zimogrowski assumes the role of the spa director. She brings 25 years of expertise into the ever-evolving wellness landscape. Audrey's progression as a lead massage therapist in New York evolved into a director of spa in Oklahoma City to her current role with the Omni Homestead Resort. As a native of New York, her hospitality experience goes beyond the spa, having held multiple positions in the culinary and fine dining industry. As spa director, she'll be responsible for overseeing the state-of-art facilities and fostering enthusiasm for training and development within the team to ensure a transformative spa experience for the guests. Tyler Minyamir serves as the award-winning property's golf course superintendent and brings a rich background in the golf industry. His start began at his family's nine-hole course, igniting his passion for the sport and inspiring him to pursue a career in golf management. He developed a strong foundation in turf management through his tenure with the maintenance team at Dunes Golf and Beach Club, where he was able to hone in on his skills over the years. Beyond this role, he excels in project management and has also been a key player in guiding numerous courses towards achieving environmental certification. Juan Ayala brings a wealth of experience to his new role as the national sales manager. He started in the hospitality industry as a busboy at the Embassy Suites in Southern California, where he pursued higher education, earning him a business marketing degree from California State University. Throughout his career, he's held pivotal sales manager positions at different hotels in California, Arizona, Florida, and most recently at the Colonial Williamsburg Resorts in Williamsburg. For AMR News, I'm Abby Dufour.
This is Scott Smith with an Allegheny Mountain Radio News Nugget. In a post shared Thursday morning on the Highland County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, Sheriff Bob Kelly said, quote, "I am informing you with a heavy heart that as of 4/19/2024 will be the last day the Highland County Sheriff's Office will provide our school system with an SRO. After becoming sheriff in January of 2024, my plans were to provide an SRO without the quote-unquote formal position and the funding. We were hoping that the sheriff's office could function properly, one patrol officer short. But things have changed. I have had two deputies resign from the police academy, and that has put us in a very difficult situation. The day-to-day operations of the sheriff's office require patrol officers. I plan to move Deputy McGuire from SRO to patrol. We need officers on the road to patrol and serve the community. As stated earlier, I share this information with a broken heart. My passion has always been to have an officer in the school. It is important for the students and staff to have a positive relationship with law enforcement. The sheriff's deputies will still come by the school as often as possible. I will diligently work on solving the funding issue for an SRO position. I hope to get an SRO back into the school soon." End quote.
Homeschoolers will meet at the Highland County Public Library Tuesday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. for a migration study and themed activities. That it's for students of all ages, but they do ask that a caregiver be present. It's a fan favorite for after-schoolers at the Highland County Public Library on Tuesday. The Lego Lounge is back. You can sign up to ride the bus in the Rams Review newsletter or arrive for the fun at 3:20 p.m. Parents, please plan to pick up your child by 4:15 p.m. And Tuesday is the deadline to register to vote in the May 14th primary election in West Virginia. The Highland County Board of Supervisors will have a public hearing Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. at the Highland Modular Conference Center. That's for the fiscal year 2025 budget. More information at highlandcova.org. You've been listening to New Narrow Magazine here on Allegheny Mountain Radio, WVMR Frost, West Virginia, WVLS Monterey, Virginia, WCHG Hot Springs, Virginia, WVMR FM Hillsboro, West Virginia, WNMP Marlinton, West Virginia, WDMT Marlinton, West Virginia, W278 AL Durban, West Virginia, and online at AlleghenyMountainRadio.org. Ozark Highlands Radio coming up next, followed by a TGIF Bluegrass with Uncle Norris.